So let's just review our comments on verses, because I think they're important to you got the recording going?
Yes, it's now recording.
Yay. Okay, so we're back for those we're just starting again on our lesson part. We're reading in the words of Moroni. Last week, when it was not recorded, we got up through around verse 16 to 18. We're just reviewing again what was in those verses. And
read your highlighted parts.
Well, in verse 15, Moroni repeats his promise that if you pray with real intent, you can. The same, it's almost exactly the same as on the Book of Mormon in Moroni 10 and 4, that you can know from the Holy Ghost that this is true. But the parts in 16 we're reviewing now is that for those that don't accept this second part when they have a chance to, will actually lose their testimony of the Book of Mormon, which they're calling the first part of the seal of the plates. And that's amazing, and I've already seeing that happen sometimes. Okay, we're on verse 17.
In turn, this set corresponding to the second part, which I, Moroni, foretold in a double prophecy revealed to me from Jesus Christ, whose contact exposes both the emergence of this book sealed of Mormon that must be revealed before the coming of our Lord in the sight of his disciples in the last days, as well as the record of the seven seals that my father Mormon foresaw in this record, that our Lord alone is worthy to open the rest of the seals, which he contains in the sealed set of these plates of Mormon, through the events which were foretold upon the nations of the earth after their coming upon Zion in the New Jerusalem, and the seven events which will henceforth unfold with the children of men, all foretold in these records, which by it Jesus Christ will be revealed to those who will have the faith of the brother of Jared before the coming of heavenly Zion and the tent of God be established forever among the sons of man, and the kingdom of our Lord subdue all nations under his terms.
Wow. I've got several comments here. He's talking about when these, what we're reading right now, the sealed books, and it says it'll come out in the sight of his disciples. I didn't notice that before. The ones who were witnesses of the plates, he refers to as his disciples. But here he talks about the record of the seven seals that will be opened by the Savior. This is the same as the book with the seven seals in the book of Revelation, because it says here, maybe it's in the next verse. I studied this morning, but it says there's only one worthy to open the seven seals. And that's what it says in the book of Revelation, that only one is worthy to open the book with the seven seals. That's the sealed portion of the plates of Mormon. I've held that in my hand, the book that's talked about in the book of Revelation, I have held. And that's just overpowering to me. Anyway, and it says here that it will be revealed by Christ to those who have faith before the coming of the heavenly Zion and the tent of God be established forever. So that apparently it says in another place that Savior will come to his temple. There's a small temple built first before the big. Anyway, it's trying to tell us just when it's going to happen. There's a lot in this verse. Steve, what do you think?
Well, I don't know. I don't, I'm trying to reread it and reread it and have it sink in a little bit. But that's pretty straightforward. There's not a lot of other ways to interpret that, I don't think.
Right. It's not mystic language. It's telling us in so many words that this sealed book has to come forth before the seven seals. Oh, and it also says that the opening of the seven seals corresponds to seven events which will henceforth unfold. That's what Joseph Smith said, that the seven seals have to do with, you know, seven periods of time, and there's seven angels in the book of Revelation. It all ties together. Each of the angels lets out a vial or does things.
No, yeah.
Anyway, so on the one hand, in the book, there's something like the history of the whole earth, and on the other hand, it's seven events that are coming up, which is part of the history of the whole earth. Anyway, we can probably go on, but there's a lot here to study.
We need to look at that little part that says it's going to be revealed to those who have the faith of the brother of Jared. He's the one that put his finger out, right?
Right,
and
right.
Saw
the finger of the Lord.
Okay,
saw
that's
the finger
right.
of the Lord touch the stones.
Okay. The faith of the brother of Jared, if you tie that back into the people who will have nothing left but their traditions. If all you have is your traditions, you'll never have the faith of the brother of Jared. And that's why it's saying that we have to recognize how important it is that we stay so closely attached to Jesus in our relationship with him that nobody's going to come between us. And we are not going to fall back on those traditions and precepts of men, that we are going to go forward. I don't feel right now that I have as much faith as the brother of Jared, but going forward, that's what my goal is. That's what sure. I'm striving for. And I think everybody who reads this book needs to realize the Lord doesn't think we all are there right now, but he's teaching us with this book.
Amen. Okay, verse 18. For it was revealed to me, that's Moroni, it was revealed to me in this mixed vision that I obtained from these final events, that before the Lord came to unveil the fullness of his mysteries, that the revelations which the Lord had made to be written by his servant John would be manifested in the eyes of all people before his coming, and that these revelations transcribed by my father, Mormon, in these sealed records should serve as a reminder to the covenant children that the work of the Father truly began over all the inhabited land. It is at this time that the Lord calls these people to repentance a second time and invites them to come unto him in order to believe in his gospel. So that's right there, I believe, is where the name or the second invitation comes from, is they're called to repentance a second time and that's what we're in right now today.
And everyone will
and,
hear.
And he's going to tell us more in the next verse about this, the visions of St. John. But notice that he says here, the vision of St. John, not as it's in the Bible, but the vision of St. John as it's in this sealed record that is of his father Mormon, of the plates of Mormon. And he's going to talk about that, I think, in the very next verse. That's what we're hoping to come up with. After we believe this book, the next part that Mauricio's translating right now is going to have the vision of John in it. Go ahead, Steve. I mean, is there any more comment? Okay.
Nope. 19. It is at this time that the word that the Lord revealed to me, Moroni, is fulfilled. When he said, behold, when you tear this veil of unbelief that leads you to remain in your terrible state of iniquity and hardness of heart and blindness of mind, the great and marvelous things which were concealed from you before the foundation of the world will be revealed to you. Yea, when the revelations which I have made to be written by my servant John were manifest before the eyes of my people before my coming, then shall you know that the great and wonderful work of the Father truly began on the whole face of the earth, so that all men may for the last time repent, even to the ends of the earth, if they so desire, and come to me, Jesus Christ, and believe my gospel before I come to my temple, delineate the boundaries of my kingdom, where there will be those who are loyal to me, and no one will be allowed to cross their borders.
Amen.
So now there, but there's something new. That's nowhere else in scripture, that there's going to be a border around his holy ground that nobody's going to be able to cross, and his covenant people are going to be inside that border wherever he comes to reveal this. They're going to be safe, protected.
And there's the gathering.
That's the gathering.
And that's in section 45 of the Doctrine and Covenants. It talks about how the wicked will say, don't go unto Zion because they're terrible. They can't attack them. Anyway, they're protected. So
that's amazing.
All right. So it's amazing.
Does the guest want to read?
Oh, yeah.
I'm okay. I'm a better listener.
Okay.
All right. And then go.
I'll go on. Verse 20. On this day alone in Zion, there will be protection. And in the New Jerusalem, a refuge for the fellow citizens of the saints. Also in those days, when the things I selected are revealed, about which I wrote that they should not be touched until such time as God judged it prudent to reveal these things in the future. Then in that moment, when they are brought to light by the one who is to read the words contained therein, it will occur just as in the previous days of time, that this other man of whom I have written, that he will have the privilege of showing these plates to those who will help bring this work to light. Initially, they will be shown by three by the power of God, who will know with certainty that these things are true. And through the mouths of these three witnesses, these things will be firmly established. And no one else will see except a few, according to the Holy Spirit. And they shall testify together with the power of God, also by his word, first uttered by the mouth of the ancient prophet, of whom the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will testify against the fallen and ruined world in the last days.
Okay, so I will testify as one of the witnesses that this is talking about. When they're shown again to a few, I'm one of the few. And I know it's true. I know those are the plates of Mormon, and the Spirit did witness it. And it's witnessing now as we read it. This is true. Verse 21. As for me, Moroni, the Lord made me see when I was projecting the seals. Projecting, it should be some word like, it's like the word project, making, when I was creating or making the seals for these plates, which should contain two cylindrical, which is planning to have them contain two cylindrical metal pieces, which would transpose all the sealed plates, but with two internal heads to correspond remainder of the plates, where there will be another six heads of the seal according to the circumstances that Christ will reveal them in the days designated by him after his temple coming to at the temple in Zion. Before I even finish the verse, let me comment on that. When the plates were first unsealed in the presence of not only Mauricio and the three witnesses, but the eight witnesses from Missouri, so 12 people present, there were two bands, and I have a picture of this. I have an article called Plates of Mormon, Three Parts for Three Eras. And we're going to read about that right now. There were two bands around the whole sealed portion. The top part where the Book of Mormon was, were always unsealed. There were two bands around it. But then within the two bands, there were two heads, the parts that's unsealed now, and the parts that are going to remain sealed, the big, which is about half the plates. That, and then it says there's six other heads within that last part. That means there's seven sections of those six dividers. There's seven sections, and you can't really see. I've looked for them, and I can barely see them in the picture in my article, that there are little teeny subdivisions of the six subdivisions in the sealed portion that only Christ will, that are still sealed. And they're sealed by big rivets that are like nails that have been pounded with the head on both ends. They're sealed tight. So just my little eyewitness account there to explain though. Okay, I'm gonna keep reading. Behold, this, come after this book of which I have spoken, which shall first be revealed to the Gentiles, that they may repent of their abominations and sins. And so shall there be still other records in the set of plates, which shall remain united under these two inner bands, and must be sealed again by the one who will write the record of this first part. Because not everything will be revealed in his day and the opening of the first seals in order to preserve the content, so that he will reveal the rest of the plates when the Lord finds it prudent in the future. But in the end, the children of the covenant, which will come after the translation of this first, see, they will come after the translation of this first set to regroup in a single fold under the name given to his chosen ones, for which your church should be known in the last days. So I actually have found, when I got more details about the opening of these seals, it says here that the one who opens the seals will reseal them. And the way I just said it a minute ago wasn't quite right. I said that there were seals on the first part and then these long rivets for the rest. And I wasn't there. I'm a later witness. I wasn't one of these original ones. And I was corrected, and it's just like what this book says. Actually, the sealed portion, it had the divisions in it, but what I called those long rivets, somehow the seals went through the entire sealed portion. And immediately after the top 43 plates were unsealed, Mauricio actually took a little hammer and remade the end of that seal. So he's already resealed the big sealed portion.
Huh.
And I didn't think it mattered if I didn't say it exactly right, but this said it exactly right, so I had to correct it. He's already resealed that. Okay, I think, any other comment on that part yet? Okay, Steve, 22.
Then the Lord shall descend from the heavens with the sounds of trumpets, accompanied by a chariot entourage and horses and wheels of fire, which shall cover the heavens as the clouds cover the earth. And all the nations that have pierced him shall feel ashamed. And the people of the world of mankind, being afraid, shall flee without direction from their dwellings, and as reptiles shall hide themselves in their slits. And a storm will sweep the four corners of the earth as if by a strong wind that would fill the four corners of the sky. When finally the Lord comes down to his temple, not to bring peace among the nations, but to annihilate those who ruin the earth, yea, to set fire to the chaff bound in bundles, which are churches in the field of the world. For his wheat shall be sheltered in his vineyard, in the harness of the Lord in Zion.
Oh, I just got.
Okay. Jeannie's got something.
So at the very end says, set the fire to the chaff bound in bundles, and the bundles being the churches in the field of the world. These are all the churches that are out there that are saying stuff about the Lord with their lips and not following, not doing what the Lord wants them to do, not acting the way. Because it says his wheat will be sheltered in his vineyard in the harness of the Lord in Zion. So those who are working in our Lord's, doing our Lord's work, harness of the Lord, we are going to be the wheat and we are going to be sheltered.
Right.
I just made that distinction. Sorry.
No, that's great. That's exactly what it's saying. And here again, it makes it clear that And it puts this all in context of when the Lord comes from the heavens, is fire on the earth, the Lord, the storm sweeps the earth. There's one word that I've read this in Portuguese as well as English. And remember, Mauricio translated it to English and he doesn't speak English. And the way he did it was to choose different words. And I don't think he always got them right, but he did an amazing job. The word here, harness, should be granary. In Portuguese, that means granary. If his wheat shall be sheltered in his vineyard in the granary of the Lord. It's like a barn or the granary. That's one of the only words in this whole chapter. That's one of two words that I think should be changed.
I like harness.
Okay. She likes harness. So there you go.
I don't know.
Forget I said that.
I just think the more we are doing the Lord's work, the more we are coming closer to being.
Oh yeah, we should
the
be
faith
harvest.
In the brother of Jared. We're increasing that, and we are coming closer. And it says that the Lord knows His people. We know the Lord, and that's because we have a relationship with Him. And we're following Him. It says up above, the people of the world of mankind being afraid shall flee without direction and hide in their slips. They're just going to go. They're going to think they're not safe where they are. They're going to try and find someplace else. It's not going to be safe either.
Yeah, the slits are, that's talked about in Isaiah, those cracks in the rocks.
Right.
Is what that's referring to. They'll be hiding. See, this is the kind of thing where you go into caves and hide because the wind and the fire. I mean, where are you going to go? There's fire everywhere.
Right.
You're going to try to find a cave.
Yeah.
To shelter yourself in. Anyway, so that's a great description of the second coming, and it shows where it comes in relation to these things. Okay. Is that,
yep.
Virginia, I think it's you.
Oh, I'm ready. Steve, did you have anything to say?
No, I'm sitting here taking it in and putting it together. I'm still thinking about some things we covered. It's just stirring up a lot of things.
It does. It does. It brings a lot of what we've read at the end of the book together, doesn't it? Yeah.
Having just finished that, yeah.
23. After these days of great uproar among the nations of the earth, the Lord will come to His temple and redeem His church to make it a holy property and give it an eternal name, rescuing what was formerly lost, Church of Christ, and establishing His people perpetually upon His everlasting gospel.
Now that verse made it really clear.
Yep.
Now see, there's two comings to two temples here, because before all that burning and everything, He comes to, verse 21 said, times designated after He's coming to the temple in Zion. There's a little temple first with a little gathering, and that's where He reads those sealed plates. Then there's this big second coming with the destruction of the wicked. And then the Lord will come to His temple to redeem His church, give it an eternal name. Anyway, I'm just saying it kind of makes it clear that
how
there's two comings and two Zions, and I believe that. Well, we'll see what happens. I don't know. Why don't you read another long one here? That was a short one.
Okay, verse 24. I, Moroni, I gave continuity in writing and compiling the records given to me by my father, Mormon. It was then, when my father was 65 years old, that he found himself tired to pursue his record. For how much his hands have lost the vitality and the fingers the sensitivity to carve the characters in the metal sheets. And at night, under the light of the lamp, his eyes weakened with the reflection of the plate. It was then that my father, Mormon, decided to hide the records on Mount Cumorah after taking them out of the library of Shem. All records previously compiled by him from this place, except for those few records that contain a summary made by my father, and the other 24 plates found by the people of Limhi in the days of Mosiah in regard to the Jaredite record, and that I have been entrusted to complete their work. For inasmuch as the other records assigned to him by the hand of the Lord, beginning with the plates of Nephi, along with the books that my father examined and which constitute the records of the prophets, from Jacob to King Benjamin, among which my father had chosen to finish his resume, together with the records which were sealed by the ancient prophets and preserved by the hand of the Lord for a wise and future purpose.
Okay, so I don't have much comment there. He's just talking about how the place. Okay, 25.
Well, I'm sorry, but I have one.
Okay, go.
Steve?
I'm with you.
Yeah. Where it says that he decided to hide the records on Mount Cumorah after taking the Library of Shem, and it said all records previously compiled by him from this place, except for these few plates, which contain a summary made by my father. So he's saying that there's other plates in the Hill Cumorah that have not been found.
Well, it doesn't say Hill Cumorah. There's other hills.
Well,
this is something almost nobody notices right in the Book of Mormon. In the Book of Mormon, if you look at where it talks about him hiding the plates, it says he hides. See, look, he decided to anyway, I'm going to say what I remember, and I think it's going to match this. He hides all of the plates, and by the way, notice hill and mount. The word is the Portuguese word can be translated either hill or mount, and we're so used to it being called the Hill Cumorah. And yet Mount Cumorah is the Portuguese, it's like Mount Agudo, but it's translated Hill Agudo, where, anyway. The Book of Mormon says that Amram hid all of the plates in the Hill Cumorah except the ones which were given to Moroni, to Mormon. And that's, nobody ever notices that. And I think that's what he says here. He puts all of them, there's the two libraries and the ones in the Hill Shem. Yeah, he decided to hill records in the Hill Cumorah after taking them out of the library at Shem, all records previously compiled by him from this place, except for these few plates. Anyway, it's really tricky stuff. Let's not get into a discussion on where Hill Cumorah is. But the Hill Cumorah he's talking about is near the place of Shem. And later in the Book of Mormon, I mean, I just read all of this. And it's very near to where Zarahemla is. Let's not go through that. There's plates in different, a lot of plates in different places.
Yeah. That's where the mysteries are still going to be revealed to
us. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
25. Among the account made by my father of the plates of Nephi, among them is the record of Lehi, the patriarch who came from Jerusalem, records of Nephi, the son of Lehi, the record of Jacob, the son of Lehi, the record of Enos, son of Jacob, the record of Jerob, son of Enos, the record of Omni, son of Jerem. From the place which were selected by my father in which the prophecies concerning the coming of Christ have been fulfilled even to our day, beginning with a brief introduction transcribed as the words of Mormon, is found condensed in summary the record of Mosiah, the record of Alma, record of Helaman, and other records with the name Nephi, and three other records which were employed by my father and me as the
Book of Mormon. Uh-oh, running out of time.
Wait a minute, we're getting an out of time thing. It's only been 30 minutes. We got 15 minutes, we got 10 minutes left.
Okay.
It's recorded.
Yeah.
So 24 plates. Anyway, which he's transcribed into the Book of Ether. But which will Oh, the except for the part of the vision of the brother of Jared, which I transcribed from the rest of the 24 plates, which will not be revealed until the Lord comes to his temple to purify the sons of Levi. And the book I wrote soon after, which bears my name as the book of Moroni. There's lots of little things revealed through this. There's a scripture that talks about the Lord will come to his temple to reveal, to purify the sons of Levi. This identifies that as the time he's going to come and read the sealed portion of the seven seals. So there's just lots of little things that put stuff together. Steve, what do you think?
Well, one of the things that crosses my mind as a memory from hearing it before in other places is the place of the Jaredites were written in the Jaredite language, and it, for every character, they could have several words. The sealed portion that remains for Christ to share with us in that day is the larger part of all of this. And I was sitting here thinking, I just couldn't get that off my mind that we talked about earlier. You know, as we come to a faith, even as Jared, then we wouldn't have it revealed to us until then. And I was thinking about his faith was so strong that he could see the unseen. I mean, he saw the finger of God. And at that time, he was no longer in need of faith. He had knowledge. And so it's almost, from an ethereal kind of point of view, a trans-dimensional kind of view. You got something that others couldn't see because of your faith in it. And how that might be to us in this day and under what circumstances. I don't know. It just won't leave me alone.
No, that's a good point.
Still chewing on that.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Right, because when you have that kind of faith, see what's hidden in that seven seals is what's going to happen all through history, including up to the end of the world. And for everybody else, it's a surprise, you know, what's going to happen. And what you're saying is that it's almost like it can't be held from us anymore, that we'll be able to see it. So he might as well let us see it.
We're certainly working toward that kind of faith, I hope.
Yeah, I hear that.
Well, and as a
I don't feel anywhere near that. But something that gives me hope is that the brother of Jared, even when the Lord appeared to him, he was fearful at first. So even he wasn't, you know, perfect in his faith, but, you know, he immediately knew it was, he was quickly calmed down. But I like that. I like knowing that because I know I have so much to overcome.
Good point.
Good point, yeah.
And remember, the Lord said that Jared had about as much faith as anybody he'd ever seen, you know.
Yeah.
In other words, that he was really exceptional, and we're supposed to be exceptional too. That's the point.
Yeah.
And in spite of that, he went 4 years without seeking the voice of the Lord. Was that him?
Yeah. And the Lord chewed him out for 3 hours.
Yeah.
How'd you like to be chewed out by
no.
The Lord?
And yet he still got to see him.
Yes. Right. There is the bottom line.
Yep.
You don't have to be perfect. We have to be faithful. Right.
Steve, I like what you said about faith and then it changing to knowledge.
Yes.
So we're seeing a little bit of that really right now. And I think that's a hope that our faith is progressing. It says to read this with faith in the Holy Spirit that we'll understand it, and we are understanding it, and thereby gaining knowledge. So thank you for pointing that out.
Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Let's read another verse.
Okay. Whose turn?
Is it me?
12. Steve. Yeah, we got 5 minutes left. Steve just read, I think. Right?
Oh.
I've lost track. I'd go 25, or I'm sorry,
27.
We're on 27.
Okay. From the sealed records of the prophets, which were summarized and compiled on this set of plates by my father, Mormon, among them is the sealed book of Moses, written by the hand of Moses himself in scrolls of hides, and which had been sealed by his signet ring, and which were later compiled on the plates of the people of Nephi, which contains the records of the prophets, containing the things he saw concerning this world and the prophecies concerning the judgments of God that will fall on the inhabited earth, each in their respective dispensations. For how much King Josiah himself did not endure these prophecies, whose record was found together with the book of the law, when Hilkiah, the high priest in Jerusalem, undertook the restoration of the temple, coming to consult Huldah, the prophetess, to know if any of these terrible events described in the sealed book of Moses would have to fall upon the chosen nation of his days.
Let's keep reading, because he's going to tell us what's in, now he's going to not only tell us what's in this book, right, the sealed book, but he's going to go on to what we haven't received yet. Why don't you go ahead, Bill, Jeannie.
But all of the records of Moses, my father Mormon compiled only a summary, leaving aside the prophecies and pointing to a wise future purpose, the issues related to the Melchizedek priesthood among the covenant people from the beginning to the end and all preconceived times, for how much the remaining content of this book of Moses will be on the plates that will be revealed only when Christ comes to the temple in the last days. Therefore, it was in the care of the family of Lehi, whose name was Eliasha, before the Lord called him. For inasmuch as his father, Shaphan, as well as his forefathers before him, was the secretary and scribe of the king of Judah, with that he was acquainted with the language of his ancestors and also the Phoenicians, as well as the Chaldeans, from which Abraham proceeded, and also the Egyptian writing, for how much the Hebrews were taken captive by Pharaoh after Joseph perished in Egypt until Moses delivered them.
I got just a quick comment there that I picked up now that I've never noticed. He was a scribe. A scribe's going to know all of those languages. Most people were not taught. Most people weren't even taught one language to write. And so that's why Lehi would know all of these languages and be able to teach Nephi all of those languages.
Oh, yeah.
That's a detail that, because in one place, he's going to say that he's mixed the characters of Nephites and Jaredites, whatever worked best. So he's expecting that a seer would be translating this. I think it's time we're going to close. Yeah, we're going to close in about a minute here.
And
we're going to continue. We'll just go on and continue next week from here.
Yeah.
So we're on starting on verse 30. For Lehi's commission. But anyway, it's been great to have our guest with us here.
Thank you.
And everybody, this is I think probably the most we've had people so far. All righty, we'll see y'all next week. And at least we've got to end the whole meeting, not just the recording.
No, yeah, we do, but I'm going to just stop the recording.